Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show, taking a break from the dueling mock drafts, which we will pick up tomorrow. But Kyle, listen to this. I went to lunch on Saturday with a friend who listens to the Draft Dudes podcast, and he said to me, he says, I don't listen to every episode, maybe only one a week, but it's usually Takes on Takes.
That's great. I thought you were going to lead in and make some comment about how they can't believe that we get along, because we get that a lot. I saw somebody called us a regular day Hatfield and McCoys because we're a Dolphins and a Bills fan.
I know how to deal with you. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, a lot of people are surprised that we get along. It's funny. We don't have that much in common. I mean, we have the huge common ground of football and the Draft Network and that we've worked together. But like from an interest side of things, we don't really mesh that well. But
it's like your jokes country on everyone music, else. Yeah. I'm not. I'm movies. You're not. That's about it. But we got football.
Yeah, we seem to do a lot together. It just kind of works. I don't know. We like having fun. That's kind of a unique thing, right? We're not boring, I guess.
We're not? It seems to me.
We probably are boring.
Oh, we got Pop-Tart takes in here today.
We've got Pop-Tarts.
I'm just looking at the list.
Yeah. So there you go. We're losing listeners by the minute.
No, there goes five more unsubscribes just because we're going to talk Pop-Tarts for 3 minutes on today's show. But I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Let's do it. You want to give me the first one?
All right. Joey LaFaro, Greg Little is Eric Flowers. That is all, .. All right, fine. He's Eric Flowers and should not be drafted, let alone go before day three.
Funny how the mock drafts suddenly don't have Greg Little going in the first round anymore, huh? It used to be a staple. Staple since, I don't know, last May till about the combine. And then they're no longer with Greg Little in the first round. I think we've kind of been down on Greg, I don't know, ever since the first time you watched this tape and see that he's just got terrible body control. And it's funny because like he'll test well for like PFF, you know, he'll have good grades and stuff, but I mean he just, when you think about him having to hold up against these NFL pass rushers and how inconsistent he is with his set points and body control, and then he just didn't validate any type of physical upside at the combine. Eric Flowers, Eric Flowers was a top 10 pick. I don't think that's going to be the case with Greg Little.
Right. I think real quick, you brought up an interesting point about he'll score well with PFF and all that. PFF's, I have a lot of respect for the work that they do, and I think there's value with a lot of things that they piece together. But as far as projecting to the pros, that's always difficult, right? Because their grading is based on did you
results.
Do your job?
Yeah,
it's did you do your job? It's not looking for qualifiers and disqualifiers. It's strictly what was your end result on a play-by-play basis. So it's an interesting point.
I'll say this as well with PFF, because I know some people there. And one thing that they are doing a good job of right now is finding what data points they collect translates to NFL success. So that's interesting to see how, as they dig into that a little deeper, what they reveal and what we can glean on as the most important takeaways from PFF data regarding prospects.
Right.
Kyle, this one comes from George. Oh, wow. How do you say that last name?
Give it a Charouri.
C-H-A-H-R-O-U-R-I.
Charouri. But he got turned in. Somebody turned him in. Cameron Spencer.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's actually a good point. So PFF George. Funny, we're leading right into this. He got turned in by Cameron Spencer. George said, seems like a good time to remind everyone that the Raiders won the Khalil Mack trade, turned in by Cameron Spencer with the hashtag takes on takes.
I think it's premature to declare them the winner because we need to know what they do with that capital, that draft capital. So, I mean, Khalil Mack was a monster this year. Obviously, the financial implications are something that serves as a roadblock for any team that's going to build forward with Khalil Mack being a part of their franchise. But I can't call a winner in this deal until I know who the Raiders end up with as an end result of that trade and what that player's success looks like in the NFL. So to be determined. Travis Allen Graber. Niners are drafting Burns, NFL Draft 2019, hashtag takes on takes.
I don't think they are. I think they're going to take Bosa. I really do. Murray 1, Bosa 2, and Burns, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I think he's such a great pass rusher. I just predictively, I think it's going to be Bosa. This one, Kyle, comes from Matt Hicks. Here we go. Strawberry and blueberry are day 3 Pop-Tart picks, and it ain't even close. Hashtag takes on takes. Hashtag stick to Pop-Tarts, not football.
Oh, dear. First of all, I agree with Matt. I'm not a fan of strawberry or blueberry Pop-Tarts. So if I was constructing a big board, I asked for big boards. I got a bunch of big boards. Coincidentally, we've got a big board following up. Very shortly, the only fruit-flavored Pop-Tart that I like is cherry. So day 3, I'm on board strawberry and blueberry. I believe this is the last Pop-Tart take,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, this is it. Get them out of the way.
Brisk. We got to keep it brisk so we don't lose anybody.
Yep.
JB74, number 1, brown sugar. Number 2, strawberry. Number 3, cherry. That's a Pop-Tart big board. Also, takes on take, Pop-Tarts are trash and should only be eaten if there are no other options. Team Toaster Strudel.
I'm all over this. I think that's the correct top 3 with Pop-Tart rankings. And yeah, man, I know that you haven't eaten a Pop-Tarts in probably a decade, and I might be right there with you. They're not that good. This one comes from Daniel Cooksey, Kyle. This is another turn-in. They said Riley Ridley is undraftable, and then Luke Donaldson hit him with the hashtag takes on takes. So, Kyle, is Riley Ridley undraftable?
No, he's not undraftable. Did he test where you would want him to? No. Are you disappointed with his athletic testing? Yes. But I think you see he's a guy that runs some pretty polished routes. He has some run after the catch ability. He's not a true burner, but he's a big, tough guy in as far as with the football in his hands. He's not undraftable, but he's not the top 25 prospect that some, including some of us here at the Draft Network, at some juncture in the draft process, thought he might be. But that doesn't mean he's undraftable. Brian Perez, verified account, Brian Perez, NFL. Opening day baseball is worse than March Madness. Kyle Krabs grinding the tape turned him in with the hashtag takes on takes, Joe. Opening day baseball is worse than March Madness.
Well, this is tough. So I'm not going to be sitting there watching like the White Sox and the Orioles ever. All right. I like opening day baseball because I like the New York Mets, but I don't follow every team closely. March Madness. I mean, we've talked about our takes on March Madness, which is, to me, it's an oversaturated tournament. March Madness is better than opening day baseball. What do you think there? You got a quick take on that?
They both suck.
How's but which that? One's better? One has to be better.
Listen, opening day baseball is only one day. March Madness is like 3 weeks.
Right. Final Four is
day.
Here.
Give me opening day baseball.
Is worse or better?
I would rather watch opening day baseball because it's only one day than watch March Madness.
Oh, all right. That's an interesting way to take it.
Smallest investment of my time is humanly possible.
All right. This one comes from Xavier at the North Xavier. He says, if Daniel Jones hits his ceiling, he'll only be a very poor man's Carson Wentz.
If Daniel Jones hits his ceiling, he's Alex Smith. How's that? I think that's his absolute best case scenario. Alex Smith, slow starter in the league. He's turned into a reliable but unspectacular starting quarterback. Has some limitations to his game, but he is athletic. He is mobile. That's Daniel Jones. That's how I feel about it. We got a lot of people turning folks in today.
It's fun.
A lot of snitches.
Didn't even mean for it to happen, you know?
I know. Scarecrow Boat said, evaluation based on college tape is meaningless once you hit the NFL. And Pat's sign, Pat and Madison, hit it with the hashtag takes on takes. So I guess the thought process here is you can't – a guy's college tape is useless.
Well, the context here – I was part of this Twitter discussion with Steve Palazzolo from PFF, and it was about Josh Rosen and how, you know, look, he had a really poor season as a rookie, but, you know, there's that his college tape that you can lean on to know who he is as a player, what he's capable of. And so this guy, Scarecrow Boat, came back with evaluation based on college tape is meaningless once you hit the NFL, which
– get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's not true. Like, especially for a situation where with the Cardinals where I think Tom Brady might have won 7 games as a quarterback for that team. Just horrible offensive line. A completely a coaching staff that was just in shambles. Bad weapons. I mean, just everything working against the situation there. And you got a quarterback in Josh Rosen that's a rookie. Yeah, of course I'm going to remind myself of what he did in college and the traits he illustrated in college and lean on that for my forecast with him going forward. Now, yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter, right? Like, there's times that a player gets to the NFL and the game's different from the college level, and the way that they won in college didn't translate well to the NFL. And yeah, it doesn't matter what they did in college, but I think more times than not, we can still learn a lot about a player, especially in the situation of Josh Rosen. The Bumski says this is another turn in. All right. So the Bumski got turned in. He said, can't argue with much except in my opinion, Campbell over Fant and Metcalf. Okay. So that doesn't matter. He says, my bold prediction is Paris Campbell is the number one wide receiver off the board in the NFL draft. Josiah Graham hit him with the hashtag takes on takes and tagged you and I in the tweet.
All right, bet. I'll eat the tweet if that happens.
Campbell, wide receiver one?
If Paris Campbell is wide receiver one, I will print out the tweet on a piece of paper and I will eat it.
Okay, so you think it's that bad of a take?
I do not think so.
Yeah, I don't think
it'll happen. Number one wide receiver off the board? No.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen either, but the NFL is weird and they like guys that run 4.3s.
Who would be the team? Like, I look at the draft order in general, and like Washington at 15 feels like one of the earliest teams that could potentially draft a wide receiver when you consider team needs for the teams picking in the top 10, right?
It would surprise me. It would surprise me a lot.
So you've got like Washington, and then there's like a handful of teams in the early 20s. No, I don't think Paris. I mean, if Paris goes above 25, I'd be stunned. So, yeah, I'm going to stand by this. I'll eat this tweet if it happens.
I can't get this next one. You got to get that one.
No.
You're giving this to me?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
You should have thought ahead. And you're assigning who started.
It just proves that I don't think about the order at all. I just copy paste them.
Corey Hayes.
Oh, boy.
At the Joe Marino. Hashtag takes on takes. Joe Marino would be the best NFL general manager out of anyone at the Draft Network.
Without question, yes.
That is such an off-brand answer.
What am I supposed to say here?
It's like anytime you ask a prospect, like, do you think you're the best player at position X in this year's draft? Like, do you expect any of them to say no?
I believe in my ability to evaluate talent and construct a roster. And, you know, just I'm a competitor. So I really believe that I'm the one. I'll say this. Okay, I think we all have good eyes for the game. Solak, no. If there's anything, and this is, I have experience with managing people, so I'll go with that experience to give me the blend of people management as well as football knowledge.
There you have it.
And of course, Kyle would agree. Kyle would definitely say that I'm the best NFL GM out of anyone at TDN. Except for, well, no, I'm not going there. Okay, this one comes from Silver and Blue Draft. He says,
it's probably a good idea. Just keep rolling.
He says, Juwan Taylor is a bust waiting to happen. Jonah Williams is the catch from this class. Hashtag takes on take. Hashtags hot take. Hashtag NFL Draft 2019. Hashtag NFL Draft. Hashtag Draft Twitter. Hashtag O-line.
My man loves the hashtags here. Yep. Listen, is there some degree of risk with Juwan Taylor? Maybe. Somebody put up a post of him trying to play left tackle. Florida State went unbalanced and put him outside of Martez Ivy, and Brian Burns from 2017 just like dusted him. And his pass, if you draft Juwan Taylor and you ask him to switch sides, I think you exponentially increase that chance of a bust. But a good offensive tackle is a good offensive tackle. Technically speaking, what are the risks? There's some hand placement issues. He can carry his hands a little low at times. His pad level can get up. But he can mask a lot of those things with length, functional strength, anchor, and athleticism. So there is some inherent risk with Juwan Taylor, but I don't think he's a bust waiting to happen. I think you can do him disservices with how you play him that can increase his chances of busting, but you can say that for almost any player. Jonah Williams is the catch from this class. I like Jonah Williams a lot. Jonah's a top 20 player for me. My producer's got my big board right here, Joe. It's got 298 names on it right now.
Oh, you're so close to three bills.
I know. And then here I am. Joe wanted to record this morning.
Is that? You want to tell the truth there, Kyle? Why we're recording earlier than expected?
No. So Jonah Williams is 13th on my big board. I like Jonah Williams.
What's Taylor?
Juwan is 6.
Okay.
So I do have another offensive tackle with two more offensive tackles with first round grades.
Really?
Yeah.
You have Risner.
Yes.
And you have another offensive. Cody Ford.
Cody Ford. Yeah.
Got it.
They're all in the top 20.
Good offensive tackle class, huh?
Yeah. And some of those guys, Risner and Ford, both have inside outside eligibility. So. Yeah. And Jonah Williams has inside outside deals. Mm-hmm. So I like this offensive line group at the top. Christian Morrell. Drew Locke is greater than Josh. Wow, you really dug yourself a hole.
I know. What am I doing here? Yep.
Drew Locke greater than Josh Allen. Won't run all over a defense like Allen, but I slightly like him more as a passer. Hashtag takes on takes.
That's a little challenging because we've seen Josh for a year in the NFL, but
how about based on his college?
So that's where I was going to kind of take that is, and I would agree with you that, Drew Locke is a better passer coming out than Josh Allen was. I think what really, you kind of mentioned the point about him running, Josh Allen running all over defenses. And I think that was something that, really came out, right? Obviously throughout the course of the season for Josh Allen, I think that really made him more effective. And so I think that's just going to be a big part of his game. And so, I think coming out, I feel like I would be more comfortable with Drew Locke than Josh Allen. Here we go. This one comes from JB_74. The only band more overrated than the Beatles is Nirvana.
I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other on Nirvana. They didn't like do it for me, but I don't like hate their music.
Couldn't name a song. Could not name a song.
Really?
I could at least tell you the Yellow Submarine was by the Beatles. That might be the only Beatles song I can tell you.
Can you name one of the members of Nirvana?
Marilyn Manson?
No.
I don't know. What's that guy's name? Kurt Cobain?
Kurt Cobain. Very good. Same. There's one more that you should know.
From Nirvana?
Yeah.
I should know. No, dude, the guitarist? No, not a chance.
He's gone on to participate in bands such as the Foo Fighters.
Doesn't help me. Couldn't name a song.
Really?
Yeah. Come on.
You don't know the Foo Fighters?
I've heard the name, but if you asked, you played a song, you played their most famous song and said, this is the Foo Fighters, I probably would have heard the song. I couldn't tell you. Like, there's not a chance. When I tell you, I'm boxed in with music, man. You know that.
You like Dave Grohl?
Never heard of him.
Okay. Dave Grohl's a solid musician. I like him.
Okay.
So is it my turn?
Yeah, you got to give me this next one.
Okay, Intangibles NFL Pod. At Grinding the Tape, this year's quarterback class is very similar to the EJ Manuel, Geno Smith class. Any QB who gets drafted in the first round will be overdrafted, except Kyler. This QB class is great if you need a career backup. Hashtag takes on takes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, I think we've got a lot of guys that probably play in the league for a while, never be a desirable starting quarterback. I think, man, hindsight's always easier, but I feel like I like Kyler more than I did EJ Manuel or Geno Smith coming out. I think that's pretty true. And I'm not overly high on Kyler. It's just, you know, that was that 2013, man. That group just sucked. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, that 2013 class produced a lot of career backups. Just none of them are even desirable to be even your backup quarterback. So, I think that's a good take, Intangibles NFL Pod. This one comes from at Chef Rock 88. He says, even with Ed Oliver, Brian Burns, and Noah Fant still on the board at number 12, the Packers select DK Metcalf. Other teams are scared off by limited production injury history. Curious to hear who you like for the Pack if those dudes last. So let's go with the angle. Those guys are all on the board. Do the Packers select DK Metcalf?
I don't think so. I think they like their wide receiver group enough that they wouldn't feel the urgency to take Metcalf. I've heard a lot lately from Packers fans that the perception is if Ed Oliver's there at 12, that would be the pick.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is DK's floor in the draft?
The floor is 15.
Washington?
Yeah, I think so.
His ceiling is his ceiling to 49ers?
No.
Not a chance. You're saying zero chance.
Zero chance. It's Nick Bosa.
Okay, so what is the ceiling? The Jets at 3?
Maybe. Jets 3, Raiders not Raiders.
Jacksonville
anymore.
7?
Yeah. So it's Jets at 3 and Jacksonville at 7.
And then you start, I mean, Detroit, Buffalo, 8, 9.
Detroit, Buffalo still realistic options. Yeah.
All right.
Watch, he's going to go like 35 now.
Dude, he's a fascinating player in terms of valuation. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We'll have to do some research on where some similar.
Like, we might need to do a show. We already have all of our shows booked, but it'd be fun to do one like ceiling floors for players like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to do some research. Like, do you happen to know off the top of your head where Dez Bryant went?
To the Dallas Cowboys.
No shit, Joe. Like, what number was he picked?
If you give me like 30 seconds, I can tell you that.
Sure.
Dez Bryant, wide receiver from Oklahoma State. He was the 24th pick in the 2010 NFL draft.
Okay. I don't know. His floor might be a little lower than what we want to think it is.
See, that's what I was thinking too. I think Washington feels like the right floor. I don't know though.
Right. Like if he's there at 22 to Baltimore, does Baltimore have to take him?
Yes. Yes, they do.
They should, right? But
yes.
Like,
I don't know. I don't know how everyone thinks. I have my hot takes about DK, but I mean, the foot injury in 16, the neck in 18.
I'll set the worst case scenario. His absolute worst case scenario floor is 26 to Indianapolis.
Yes, I agree with you. There's not a chance he gets by Indy.
Yes.
God, he should not.
Well, there you go. All right, so he's only got like a 25 pick strike zone, you know? It's like whatever. 23 pick strike
zone.
Yeah,
but when the ceiling is like the top 5, you know?
Right, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, last take of the day. Dylan McKeague? Chase Winovich is better and should go ahead of Rayshon Gary. Hashtag takes on takes.
Hashtag big facts. Yeah, Winovich is a more desirable prospect to me than Gary. And I get that maybe Gary has a very high ceiling, but I think Chase Winovich has a high ceiling. We've talked, he's been like a big topic for like 10 months now. It feels like talking about this 2019 NFL draft. Was that David Bowen? Did David Bowen tip us off on him over the summer? I think it was. And we were like a little bit dismissive of him, but then you just get to the tape, you see a really nice blend of technique, motor, athletic ability, play strength, vision, knows how to attack the pocket. Like, to me, it's funny because we're starting – I think our staff is collectively getting a little bit more comfortable with maybe mocking him late first round. I think Brad gave him to somebody in the late 20s in his mock today, and I've been kind of pegging him to the Chiefs maybe.
I just gave him to the Rams yesterday.
You just gave him to the Rams? Like, come on now. he's a really high-impact edge rusher at the NFL level, and that's a valuable thing, and I don't know as much about how comfortable I am with Gary, so – yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Dylan. I like this take a lot.
I like this show a lot, Joe. This is a good show. Nice, healthy blend of Pop-Tarts and football and Nirvana. And was that all the off-topic?
Opening day baseball, March Madness.
Yeah. A lot of tattletales. I loved it.
Tattletales are fun. That's what we need to call them. Tattle takes.
Tattle takes. Oh my God, we need t-shirts.
Yeah, tattle takes.
T-shirts.
There it is.
I love that. Tattle takes. My mind is blown. I can't even, you're going to have to close the show. I can't do it. Hit us up next week. Give us all your tattle takes with the hashtag takes on takes, hashtag tattle takes, if you're turning somebody in, at the Joe Marino, at Grinding the Tape. Thanks so much for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast. We'll talk with you guys tomorrow as we do another one of these dueling 3-round mock draft per division.